Well, it's great to be able to gather here on this really special morning to celebrate our risen Saviour and the new life that we can have in His resurrection. And this morning I've got a bit of a special treat, and I'd love for all the kids here to come down the front. And if you need to bring a grown-up with you, that's okay. Bring your grown-up with you. And when you come down the front, I've got a bit of a story to share with you, a bit of an animation for us to watch together and to talk about. So come on down, find a space on the blue carpet here at the front. Now, we know it's Easter Sunday, right? It's Easter Sunday morning. But you know what? Sometimes I reckon when we read the Easter story, we do a lot of this, a lot of head scratching, and a lot of question asking when we think about the Easter story. I mean, why was everyone so angry with Jesus? He didn't do anything wrong. Why did all his friends run away when Jesus was in trouble? Is it a sad story? Is it a happy story? Is it a scary story? We do a lot of head scratching and a lot of question asking. And in a moment, we're going to watch an animation which tells the story of two people who were doing a lot of head scratching and a lot of question asking. You see, they were actually there in Jerusalem when all this happened. And they were on a journey, and on their journey, they met someone who gave them the biggest surprise of all. So we're going to watch this animation, watch this story, and then we're going to talk a bit about it.
Two people, walking and chatting, thinking, head scratching, about something big that's just been happening. But on the road to Emmaus, from Jerusalem way, two become three, as a new man says, "Hey, hey," says he, "you've been thinking and head scratching, has something big just been happening? You've not heard about what's been happening? All of Jerusalem have been head scratching." "What have I missed?" asks the man. "I'd love to know, please tell if you can. It's about a man called Jesus, and we thought he was coming to rescue God's people and send the Romans off running. He did, and he said loads of cool stuff from a place up north called Nazareth. He told great stories, and he healed the sick. He knew people by name and what made them tick. Remember that wedding? He turned water to wine, brought his friend back to life, and his friend felt just fine. He was sharing and caring. Just ask his friend Pete. He walked on the water with only his feet. He said shush to the storm, and the storm was still. He did a miracle with bread, and thousands were filled. Besides all this, his talk on a hill was full of wise teaching that people quote still. I can't believe it. What a big loss. A man so great who hung on a cross. And on that cross, that's where he died. I feel so tied up in knots inside. And 3 days have passed, though it feels more like 70, because now we've heard that his tomb is empty. That's right, you heard me. His body is gone. But who'd take his body? He never did wrong." "You're confused," said the man, "and seem out of the picture. So let me show you what it says in the scripture. It was always the plan, right from the start. Because Jesus loved you with all of his heart. He died on the cross, but rose from the tomb. He came back to life, so you can live too." And as they were chatting and still head scratching, two of them stopped, but the third kept on walking. "Hey, don't go, please," the two say. "The sun's gone to bed, so why don't you stay?" "Good point," says the third. "Day has turned to night. I'll stop over with you two and let's grab a bite." And as they sit down to eat, they close their eyes. He thanks God for the meal. Then, what a surprise! The two people stare and then rub their eyes. It's Jesus, not gone, but fully alive. And before they say seconds, there's more bread going round. Jesus just vanishes. He cannot be found. The two are left thinking and really head scratching. They had just been with Jesus. Something big was happening. "We must say we've seen Jesus, so tie up your shoes. Quick, to Jerusalem. There's no time to lose." All along it was Jesus, the very same one. They'd been searching the scriptures with God's precious Son. It's the biggest story that's ever been told about Jesus who's risen. It never gets old. The two met with Jesus in the most surprising way. They shared the story, and we still share it today.
And so I want to ask you this morning, what to think about, what do you think that story was about? Because it really is the most amazing story, that from the beginning of everything, God had a rescue plan for the world. God's plan to make all the wrong right, to undo all that had gone wrong. Jesus coming from heaven to earth as a person, living a perfect life and dying on the cross for each of us and all of us. And 3 days later, rising from the dead. Through Jesus, God has rescued the whole world. And you know what? God's plan is still working in you and in me. You know, God poured out His Spirit upon everyone who believes in Jesus. And through God's Spirit, we live with Him now. And the exciting thing is that one day Jesus will return again. And everyone will know that He is the strong and mighty King of Kings. You know, those who follow God will live with Him in a new heaven and a new earth. We'll be perfect friends with Him forever, just as God planned it in the beginning. I want to take some time to pray now, but I wanted to invite anyone who's sitting down the front if they would like to pray this morning. If anyone would like to say a prayer, to say thank you to Jesus, pray to God for someone. Yeah, we can all take it in turns. Lani, do you want to go first? Let's pray together.
Dear Lord Jesus, I hope we have a good day and a good sleep. And I hope everybody will have a good day. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you, Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
Dear God, thank you for loving us. Thank you for having me.
Dying for us. In Jesus' name. Amen. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we thank you that at Easter we get to remember and we get to celebrate that you came and you rescued us, that you died for us, and 3 days later you rose again to give us new life. And I pray that that story would ring loud and clear in everyone's hearts and lives this week. In Jesus' name, amen. Now you guys can head back to your grown-ups now. Thank you for joining me down the front. Thank you for your lovely prayers for us. You know, regardless of what we believe, we all understand the gap. You know, the gap is the gap between a good, beautiful and just world that we imagine in our heads and we yearn for in our hearts. The gap between that and our everyday experience of hurt, brokenness, injustice and destruction that we see played out all around us. The gap points us to how things once were in the beginning, and it reveals our longing for a future restoration. You know, significantly, the Christian narrative, the story of God's plan in our world, doesn't start with bad news. It begins with the good and beautiful creation and a humanity bearing the image of God. The gap emerges when humans reject the ways of God, failing to truly bear the image of God, and begin a downward spiral of sin and destruction. And as things become increasingly chaotic and undone, God enters the neighborhood in Jesus and begins to restore things to their original state of goodness. This other story, we're going to watch a short video in a moment about this other story. And this other story, this video aims to visually capture the movement, that movement from beauty to brokenness to restoration and renewal. So we're going to watch this other video now, and then I'm going to come and reflect on it a little bit for us this morning.
Disclaimer. It's not really meant to be. So there's this story we call the gospel, and I'm going to try to explain it, but let me start with a disclaimer. It's not really meant to be explained as much as it's meant to be experienced. So let me speak to your experience. If you've been alive for 5 minutes, I'm sure you know about the gap. In your head, there's a vision of everything in rhythm. Eating what we grow and reaping what we sow. No need for border control because no one's running from their home. It's a story in your head. But then we blink, we remember. We live in world of broken promises. Polluted planet, hearts hard like granite. Crippling anxiety, we hate each other. We hate ourselves, spiraling down wildly. The gap between the ways of God and the ways of us. But there is another story. God, star breather, planet maker, divine composer of every thread of the universe is stitching the gap back together. He entered the story, knit goodness into skin and bone, got the neighborhood deep in the grooves between his toes. He walked in love, healed the sick ones, filled rumbling stomachs, spoke peace to anxiety, hope to the ones hanging on by a thread. How did we respond? We did not see God. We saw flesh. We are used to tearing down flesh, missing the God breath. We took the skin and bone God man and nailed our hate to his wrists. But here's the crazy twist. At the very moment in the story you would expect God to take revenge, this resurrected Jesus stretches out the scarred palms of his hands and says, I'm stitching up the gap. Do you want to come back to how things were always made to be? Restored relationship with me, an earth made new and free. Turn from the ways you've learned to live. Embrace forgiveness I freely give. Become fully human with me as king. And that's the announcement, the invitation, the good news. The God we crucified is making all things new. He extends his palm to you. What are you going to do?
You know, the betrayal, denial, injustice, pain and suffering that we remember on Friday, and the incredible power that undoes and defeats death itself on Sunday, I think points towards two things. It reminds us of the extreme extent of human sinfulness and the level of brokenness that has infected our world and our hearts. But it also points us to the radical extent of God's redeeming love. It's extreme love and power that has made right what extreme wrongness has broken. And it points us to the significant life on offer to all who believe. You know, when we think of the cross, if this was the price that was paid, if this is the way that new life was made possible, then what a life it must be. This significant sacrifice has made possible a significant life. You know, the truth is, this life we can now live because of the resurrection can be hard work. You know, we can be tempted to think that it's all too hard. It's all too hard to live in a way that reflects Jesus' sacrifice in our lives, and we can walk away. You know, we don't need to be a follower of Jesus for too long for this type of challenge, this type of doubt to just creep in. You know, sometimes the gap between what we sense ought to be and the reality that we see, it clouds our minds and unsettles our hearts too much. And it becomes too hard. And you know, when we read the eyewitness accounts in the Bible, we see that even those close to Jesus, who spent 3 years with him, heard his teaching from his mouth, saw his miracles with their eyes, they too felt that pressure. And when confronted with opposition and confronted with threats by association, they ran away from Jesus. But not all of them did. You know, as we reflect on these eyewitness accounts, there was a group of women that never left Jesus. They never abandoned him or betrayed him. And in each gospel account, these women followed Jesus from Galilee. They provided for his needs, reflecting that some of them were of significant wealth and influence. These women were there at the cross. They were there as Jesus' body was laid in the tomb. And they were there first at the tomb on the Sunday morning to be told by an angel, "You are looking for Jesus who was crucified. He has risen. He's not here." And I want to particularly reflect this morning on the account that we have in Mark's Gospel. So if you happen to bring a Bible this morning, you've got it there on your phone, you can follow along with me. I'm gonna jump back a little bit just to reflect on the story of these women. I'm gonna start at the end of verse 15, read a couple of verses, and then gonna read chapter 16, verse 1-8. So we see in Mark chapter 15, verse 40. Some women were watching from a distance as Jesus was crucified. Among them were Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James, the younger, and of Joseph, and Salome. In Galilee, these women had followed him and cared for his needs. Many other women who had come up with him to Jerusalem were also there. And then when Jesus buried, down in verse 47 of chapter 15, Mary Magdalene and Mary the mother of Joseph saw where he was laid. And then the story of the resurrection, chapter 16. When the Sabbath was over, Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James and Salome brought spices so they might go and anoint Jesus' body. Very early on the first day of the week, just after sunrise, they were on their way to the tomb, and they asked each other, "Who will roll away the stone from the entrance of the tomb?" But when they looked up, they saw that the stone, which was very large, had been rolled away. As they entered the tomb, they saw a young man dressed in a white robe sitting on the right side, and they were alarmed. "Don't be alarmed," he said. "You are looking for Jesus, the Nazarene, who was crucified. He has risen. He's not here. See the place where they laid him. But go, tell his disciples and Peter. He is going ahead of you into Galilee. There you will see him, just as he told you." Trembling and bewildered, the women went out and fled from the tomb. They said nothing to anyone because they were afraid. You know, even though they were full of fear and wonder as they left that empty tomb, they were courageous, unwavering in their devotion and love for Jesus. You know, all the men in Jesus' life were either trying to kill him or they were abandoning him in his moment of need. But these women stay true. These women show us it's possible for people to faithfully follow Jesus even in the midst of opposition and challenge and doubt. You know, I tend to think that this kind of tenacious loyalty and courageous faithfulness is somewhat a way that women have been wired. You know, we see it in so many different ways in society today and throughout history. And one of the powerful contexts that I see it played out is in mothers and then mother figures in people's lives, the tenacious loyalty and courageous faithfulness. You know, the gospel of Jesus Christ is good news. It's a good news announcement that at Easter, the punishment humanity deserves for rejecting God is borne by Jesus on the cross, and that through his resurrection, death is defeated. It is the goodest news ever. But it's also an invitation to a response. Now, the gospel, this Easter story, this good news is an invitation to turn from our ways to God's ways. That we acknowledge and accept Jesus as both our Lord and our Saviour. That he is King. And we choose to live this new life as part of his unfolding kingdom. In some ways, it's easy to choose Jesus as our Saviour. It's easy to accept the sacrifice that he made. But sometimes it's a little bit trickier to accept him as our Lord as well. But he is both. He's both the one who saves us and he is our King. He is the one, it's his kingdom that we live in. It's his kingdom that we participate in. And you know, choosing Jesus is also a choice to let go of our allegiances to other kingdoms. Now, we might think for us here in Lismore in 2019, that idea, that concept of kingdoms is a bit foreign to us, as we're not ruled by an individual king. Even, you could say, our monarch has very little influence over our day-to-day lives. So that concept could be perceived as something foreign to us. But, you know what? In our Western culture, we are ruled by a global economy that fosters a deathly system of anxious scarcity. When we choose Jesus, we choose to reject the current cultural kingdom of anxious scarcity and fear that conditions us to think that there's not enough for everyone. So we've got to grab all we can for ourselves and our families. You know, we're terrified of falling house prices or a teetering economy or a fall in the stock price. And when you think about it, our education system is calibrated to create workers that can contribute to that system. Our politics are oriented entirely around finding someone to run our economy better. It's the kingdom that we live in, but it's a kingdom that we choose to reject when we choose Jesus. You know, there's a theologian named Walter Brueggemann, and he puts it this way in a poem that he writes characterizing this earthly cultural kingdom. He says, "On our own, we conclude, there's not enough to go around. We are going to run short. We should seize the day, seize our goods, seize our neighbor's goods, because there's not enough to go around." You know, we can reject that kingdom where lives are defined by the production and consumption of commodity goods. We may have to live amongst it, that's true, but it doesn't have to rule our lives. There is an alternative. We have the invitation through what Jesus has done, through his death and his resurrection. We can experience forgiveness, renewal, and life in Jesus. That he is now on his throne. We can place our allegiance, we can invest our lives into his kingdom, a kingdom of generosity, hospitality, justice, peace, and hope. That his kingdom would come on earth as it is in heaven. You know, if you're here this morning as one who has chosen forgiveness and life in Jesus, my encouragement to you this Easter is to look to the example of the women in the Easter story. When there is challenge, and I say when, not if, but when there is challenge, when there is doubt, don't be like the men following Jesus who turned their backs, but be like the women who stayed. Look to their example and know that it is possible to stand firm in spite of the challenge and doubts that you have. If you're here this morning and you're yet to choose to follow Jesus, can I too encourage you to look to the example of these women? You know, faith in Jesus is not a crutch for the weak and the ignorant. Some of these women had wealth and influence, but they all had faith that was the foundation for their courage in the face of significant opposition and threat. Following Jesus, living the new and everlasting life of His kingdom, is courageous, it's purpose-filling, it's difficult at times, and yet it's significant enough, it's convincing enough, it's powerful enough to draw out of us faithfulness, courage, and love that defies any human explanation. You know, this Easter, as we remember and we celebrate God's rescue plan for the world in Jesus, may the example of these women who stayed embolden those of us who follow Jesus. And for those of us who are yet to choose to follow Jesus, I hope it intrigues you enough to reconsider your ideas about Jesus and reasons for holding back. We have a wonderful example of this group of courageous and faithful women who stayed with Jesus. It is possible in the face of opposition to remain faithful to our Lord and Saviour. And it is a courageous and purpose-giving life that we can step into and live a new life in a new kingdom. Now I just want to take some time to pray for us, to pray for each of us and all of us. But I'm actually going to ask Cassie and the team to join me on the platform. And as we lead into our final song, I'm going to pray for us. My hope and my prayer is that this example of faithfulness and courage by these women will be an example that we can all follow, that we can all be encouraged by, we can all be intrigued by, to ask more, to inquire more about the life in Jesus that is possible. So as the team join me, can I invite you to stand? And I'll pray, and then we'll lead into our final song. Lord Jesus, we just want to praise You and thank You that You've done it all. That You, in obedience to the Father and out of Your great love for us, made possible a way to new life. And we have examples like this group of women in the Bible that stayed true, that stayed faithful, that courageously stayed by Your side in the face of immense opposition and challenge. And we thank You, Lord Jesus, that You are the one who bore our sin and shame, and that You are the one who is now robed in majesty. As we reflect on Your sacrifice on the cross, Lord Jesus, that final breath You drew on the cross is now alive in us. That by Your Spirit, Lord God, we will rise. We will rise up from the ashes of defeat and death. We will rise up from the challenges and doubts and questions that we have. By Your Spirit, we will rise. Lord Jesus, You are the resurrected King that is now resurrecting us. May our lives reflect that powerful truth. And may You lead us in this new way. May You give us the courage to reject the kingdom of this age as we live out Your kingdom of generosity and hope and hospitality and peace and justice as we participate in that unfolding kingdom. Give us the courage and faithfulness of these women. We pray in Your mighty name, Lord Jesus. Amen.
Yes, Heavenly Father, we today respond to the call and the invitation to follow you. And as today and over this weekend, we reflected on the death, but also the resurrection of our Saviour and Lord Jesus Christ. May we enter into that invitation to follow you, to make you both Saviour and Lord. Guide us, lead us, challenge us, that we may journey with you in that. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you all. We encourage you to stay around for some morning tea. Don't rush away. Also, please be aware for any of the Secret Sisters, we've got a number of cards and gifts out there. Just go and check that on your way out if you're a Secret Sister. But let's continue to celebrate. If you'd like to go out and get a cuppa first, go and do that. But let's continue to celebrate the risen Lord.